Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about vax or no vax. Should you be vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccination? Is it beneficial? Is it harmful? What can be the side effects? Has anyone died from it? Do we have any reports of any devastating physicality difficulties as a result of the vaccination? So just what are the facts? We're talking today with Ken Timmerman. Ken is the best-selling author of the book Election Heist, and as a world traveler and a investigative reporter in the past, he has a good nose, if you please, for sniffing out the difficulties and problems in finding the truth over the lie. Ken, we were just talking before the news break about the what you and I would both call, and I believe the world, the nation recognizes as a weaponization of the COVID-19, and how it's been used to, destroy the election, re-election of President Trump. Now, as I said before the news break, Amazon fighting off the unionization of its warehouses with 6,000 workers, and I believe it's in Alabama, and they're saying that the mail-in ballot should be disallowed because it is not safe and it can be less than beneficial in their election. It needs to be in person. Speak to that, the irony of that, for a moment.
Oh, yeah, well, right. The irony just blows you over. As you mentioned earlier, Amazon, that was a big proponent of mail-in balloting when it came to the U.S. political elections, doesn't want it for themselves. It's kind of like Joe Biden, who wants everybody to wear a mask, except not for himself. And then his press secretary, Jen Psaki, said, well, he was celebrating. He was celebrating, so it was okay. This is this typical Democrat double standard. I mean, it happens just every day in every part of our lives. There's a law for us and a law for them. You know, do as I say, not as I do, a law for thee, but not for me. That's the way the Democrats rule. Isn't it wonderful to be a Democrat?
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have you jump in the dialogue and the discussion today. We're talking about the COVID-19 vaccination. Is it efficacious? Is it beneficial? Ken, I'm looking at an article that says the COVID narrative shifts with Biden's inauguration. Another article says Biden is now scorched for declaring nothing we can do about the COVID virus. And before the election, Ken, you recall, and I'm sure our listeners also recall, that Biden was going to be the knight in shining armor that's going to save the nation from COVID, because he said that Trump had not done enough to stave it off, and that when he's elected, he's going to do something that will radically change it. And this article says, don't look now, but the president, with President Trump out of the White House, establishment media and some governmental leaders are signaling the coronavirus pandemic has dramatically turned the corner and is going down. In fact, all of the numbers are going down. Does that seem magical? Or has Biden done something, Ken, that has dramatically changed COVID?
Yes, he's waved that magic wand of his. It's extraordinary, Pastor, how stupid they think we are. The media really thinks that we are stupid. I was saying this actually before the election. I said, you know, I can tell you the exact date when COVID's going to go away. and it's going to be when Joe Biden, if he is, we are so unlucky for him to win the White House, when he enters the White House. All of a sudden, COVID's going to go away, and you know, the Donald Trump and his mismanagement, which Biden blasted him for, will be forgotten. And now, you know, Joe Biden has waved his magic wand. It just is extraordinary. They think that we're going to believe this. They think that we have no memory. They think that we don't recall what they were saying just weeks ago. I mean, just weeks ago, right? Biden came out in his first press conference about COVID saying, I am going to put out 100 million doses of the vaccine in 100 days. And some intrepid reporter did the math and said, huh, let me see, 100 million in 100 days. Wouldn't that be a million doses per day, Mr. President? And Biden said something like, yeah, that's right. He said, well, yesterday under the Trump administration, this was the day before he took office, I think, yesterday under the Trump administration, the government administered 980,000 doses. That's about 20,000 shy of the 1 million target that you're setting. Isn't your target perhaps a little bit too low? And Biden turned to the reporter. He said, give me a break, man. And then he walked out. And that was the end of the press conference. And nobody said a word. And the national media, you know, the NBCs, the CNN, the ABC, the CBS, they didn't think there was anything strange about that. Biden just walking out in a huff from this press conference when he was shown to be basically using the Trump plan to administer the vaccine and to defeat COVID. It's just extraordinary. They really think that we are stupid.
Ken, I'm sure that in your research, you're exactly right, and I'm sure in your research you've discovered that this vaccination is not harmless. It does have major, major physical side effects. Speak to those side effects and what you know about that.
Well, what's unusual here and quite disturbing is that we're not hearing that much in the media. There are reports earlier this month, just before Biden took office, that 55 people had died in the United States almost immediately after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. Initially, we were told it was all in California. It was all from the Moderna vaccine, and so maybe there was a bad batch of that particular vaccine. Now it turns out that it was not just in California and not just the Moderna vaccine, but also the Pfizer vaccine, which uses the same technology, this mRNA technology, which is a brand new, never used before technology for administering for a vaccine against a virus. I would like to know why that's not front page news. Don't you think Americans would like to know that 55 people have died already in the United States right after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine? They had no symptoms, no health issues before. There's one guy who just went home, got sleepy, and he woke up. He went to bed, excuse me, and the next day was Christmas Day, and he never woke up. He went home. He was 66 years old in Colorado, not in California, in Colorado. He went home, went to bed, and the next morning he was found dead in his bed. So I would think this should be front page news. It's not. The media will not cover it. And I got to tell you, that troubles me as an older person, you know, faced with the decision whether or not to take the vaccine.
The thing that frightens me with it in talking about that, in fact, I'm looking at the articles, several of them, in relationship to the side effects and the deaths. And in one of them, as you stated, 55 people have died in the U.S. Here's another article where an additional 13 have died in the U.S. and it's not been reported. And I'm looking at an article that says, with the Bill Gates DTP vaccine that was utilized in India and in Africa, it says the headlines, Bill Gates' DTP vaccine killed 10 times more African girls than the disease itself. And I recall, Ken, watching with a little fright, if you will, from the standpoint of Bill Gates' interview, I believe it was either in August or September, with CNN. And they were talking about the efficacy of the vaccine that was to be done. And he said, well, I wonder if anybody would die from it. And he said, and he kind of have a smile on his face. He said, we do realize that perhaps many 750,000 to 1 million people will die. And he kind of shrugged his shoulders, but said, but what is that in comparison with trying to vaccinate about 7 billion people? So he has an attitude that if we lose 1,000 or 10,000 or 1 million, that's okay. So with that being said, my question is, what do you think will be the end result? Will we find a Biden administration mandating that every citizen or every person in America be vaccinated? If that is the case, what is the future of the freedom of our, and what is the future of our Bill of Rights giving us freedoms to say no? Ken, I've used the approach that if a woman has been authorized to have the right to control her body, i.e. in an abortion to kill that child in her womb, why don't we as citizens, free citizens, have the right to say yes or no to a vaccine? Do we see the harbinger of the future with the government saying you must have a vaccine? Do you believe that we're going to ultimately be forced to be vaccinated?
I'm very concerned that we will all be forced to be vaccinated, yes, and that there could be a discrimination against people who are not vaccinated. Again, there's a petition you can sign at America's Frontline Doctors about it is, you know, to stop medical discrimination. That's what this is all about, discriminating against people who do not take the shot, who do not get the vaccine. And, you know, as far as what you said about Bill Gates, Bill Gates is a very cynical person, and he's really a surprising person. There's another video of him that surfaced recently online where he was giving a presentation in 2005 to the CIA, and I recognize the place where he was. He was in their amphitheater, not in a top secret location at CIA headquarters, but in their amphitheater where they bring in outside experts. That's why I was there in one case many years ago. And he was telling them, he was explaining that there is a gene for religious fanaticism. Now, he didn't say what kind of religious fanaticism, but he said religious fanaticism. At the time, 2005, of course, the CIA was preoccupied with Muslim extremism, with Islamic terrorism. But he said it religious fanaticism. And Bill Gates, I think everybody understands, is also very anti-Christian. All right. But he wasn't saying it at the time. And he said, we can vaccinate against this gene. And he was trying to sell the CIA the notion of vaccinating people in Afghanistan and Pakistan against this genetic emergence of religious fanaticism. That's the kind of person Bill Gates is. I find him, he's a kind of Dr. Strangelove type of figure, and that people can put him on air and on national television as if he's some sort of disengaged, objective scientist is really extraordinary.
It really is, and when you understand his connectivity with eugenics, with his connectivity with the fact that he says that we have about 1 billion more people in America and the world than we need, and he believes that we need to eliminate some of those, I find it frightening. And yet at the same time, with this vaccination, and you touched on it earlier with the RNA, and as I understand it, again, as you've said, I'm not a scientist nor a physician, as everyone knows. But I've done extensive research on it. And the RNA, as I understand it, and Ken, you jump in if you'd like to elaborate on it further, but it literally goes into the DNA strand and locks on and encapsulates a portion of our DNA strand. And as one medical genius stated it, it literally forever changes you, the real you. It forever changes your DNA, which makes up the real you and the real me. And with that being said, and touching on what you just said about his speaking to the CIA and what can be done, and his speaking about the gene that controls religious fanaticism, as he called it, I believe, on that video footage that I also have viewed, how does that connect with the potentiality of what the goal would be today with this vaccine? Is it possible that is part of the protocol and what will be taking place with vaccinating Americans? I'm frightened when I understand thousands have died. Thousands also have been put in, and this is worldwide, thousands also have been put in a position where their physicality has been somehow changed and are modified and are harmed, that they are now in a position they'll never be the same in their physical condition. What should we do And you've touched on the website of Dr. Gold. I want us to elaborate on that further, because Dr. Gold says that, as I've seen your writing, that the vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine, is an experimental biological agent, and reminds people who want to take them that they will be signing up for a medical trial and tracking system run by Google and Amazon. Could you explain what she's meaning by that?
Yeah, just think of that for a second. Yeah, right. When you take this vaccine, which is experimental, right, that is the authorization that President Trump set in motion so they could get the vaccines out quickly. You also agree, when you get the vaccine, to submit to this program of post-vaccination tracking by Google and by Amazon. Now, you can say, well, this is benign. This is to make sure that we understand if there are side effects, what they are and how they were caused. That's how they found that 55 people had died from COVID-19, this vaccine, back in December, and another 13 more recently. It was from this tracking system. But you're signing up for that. You're signing up for a medical trial, whether you really knew that before you're getting the vaccine or not. Let me give you one piece of potential good news here, Pastor, which is that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, to my understanding, uses a more traditional approach. It does not use this mRNA type of vector, which does enter into your cells. And again, they call it, the technical word is pathogenic priming. It makes you think that you're always fighting off the disease. And apparently, again, according to Dr. Gold, that's the danger for women of childbearing age, is that it could, basically make them sterile and unable to conceive. And I think that's the real concern. I am less worried because I don't know enough of the effects on myself as an older person, but I am very, very worried for my daughters, and I know friends of mine are worried for their grandchildren about women of childbearing age. That, I think, is the real concern that I have got, that it would basically keep them from getting pregnant, and maybe that's Bill Gates' goal.
That's part of the eugenics and part of the population control. Ken, hold on just a moment. I believe we have Randy on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Yes. My name is Randy. I listen to your radio station every afternoon to get my truck, and I just want to thank you for putting out the truth. I was calling because I am awakened to all the lies, and I just want to say that I serve, and I'm currently serving, but I have issues that interfere with my profession. I'm a born again Christian, and I know that Christ bought my body. He paid the price on the cross for it, and I just can't put anything impure with it. Inside of me, I just can't do it, knowing that it's based on lies and deceit. And every day is something new, a different lie. I watched Dr. Gold's presentation there at the church here in Florida, and know that she's been detained by FBI. And all of a sudden, now you can get hydrochloroquine, or however you say it. Do you have any advice for me and how to get the word out to others to kind of come up with a solution, or do you have anything, any advice for me?
Well, let me say this. I would not want to be in a position of telling you what to do, what not to do, but let me tell you what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. I am not going to take the vaccination. I do not believe the vaccination is efficacious for the physicality of the human being. I believe that we're watching the truth come out that we've been lied to for over a year, and that the numbers have absolutely been fabricated, inflated, and that the hysteria and the fear has permeated society today. And as our guest today has said, Ken Timmerman has stated, that is to divide America, to divide society, and to separate us. And one of the major tenets in Maoism, Leninism, Marxism, communism, is to separate the people and to cause each one to be at odds with the other. In fact, Twitter just announced, Jack Dorsey, that owns and operates Twitter, just announced they're putting out a new software on their Twitter account that's called Birdwatch, that allows the citizens to snitch on other citizens called birdwatch. So what we're watching, if I can say this, Randy, we're watching the stage being set for the final days after the rapture of the church for the Antichrist to step on the scene and control the whole globe. And so all we can do is recognize that God is still in control. God's still on the throne. He has not been dethroned. He's not been neutered. He is not impotent. He is not on vacation. He's not dead, as the word was in the 60s. And as I tell people, God hadn't even contracted COVID. So God's still in control. And so as Christians, we need to keep on looking up. We need to keep on being faithful. We need to keep on staying in the Word and looking at God's promises through His Word, and the recognition that as we keep on each day, we need to recognize that God's not going to allow anything more to come into our pathway than He allows. And as He allows it, it's for His glory and for our good. Now, that doesn't make it easy. In fact, one writer that I just quoted this week says persecution is on the fast track for the Christian. Dr. Robert Jeffers, the pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, just preached a major message in his church, said to beware that persecution is on the horizon, and Christians need to be prepared for persecution and ultimately prosecution if we do not follow what the edict of the government says. And so that's my advice. Stay in the Word. Keep on looking up, understanding that God's still on the throne. God's not abandoned us. Ken, would you have anything to jump in and say on that?
God bless you for that message. I tend to think of the masks that we are told to wear as the mark of the beast. They are clearly something being imposed on us for social reasons, not for health reasons. Frankly, if you were sick, I would hope you would stay home. You know,
yes.
Don't go put on a mask and go run around and think that you're going to be fine. If you're sick, please stay home. Do the normal thing. But these masks are there for social purposes. I was recently skiing, and we were forced to wear masks as we were waiting in line at a chairlift outside in the 20-degree weather. Excuse me. You know, it's pathetic. I like to give some positive news while we have a chance. I don't want everybody to be depressed and think, my gosh, you know what's happening to us. So every day when you – those of us in Florida who are here in Florida, every day when you go outside – and you go down the street, or you go to a restaurant, and you go to a bar, please say thank you, Ron DeSantis. Thank you, Governor DeSantis, for being rational, for being level-headed, for not going along with the herd, for not leading the sheeple to follow these mask mandates and these other mandates being thrust upon us. Thank you, Ron DeSantis, for keeping this economy open. Florida is doing fantastically well. We are not having a massive COVID epidemic. It is not killing hundreds of thousands of people. Things are pretty well under control. Yes, there are cases, but we talked about this earlier with the false positives from the PCR test. So thank you, Governor DeSantis. We need more people like you in politics who keep a head on their shoulders and stay rational and sane.
Absolutely. So, Randy, I would say to you, keep on looking up, brother. Lift up your heads, for our redemption draweth nigh, Luke 21:28 tells us. Ken, with that being said, you know, we have a mayor here in Jacksonville, and, of course, I don't mind saying I call him the empty suit because he is the puppet, and they're puppeteers that's pulling the strings. But he keeps renewing his 30-day mask mandate every 30 days, renewing the mask mandate. I believe that we need to have some legislation in the state of Florida. I believe we need to talk with our legislators. In fact, I plan on doing a special broadcast next week on that, that we need to have legislation passed in the House and the Senate that will limit what any future governor or any mayor, present or future, can do from the standpoint of executive orders. I believe a mayor or governor should have the authority to have a 30-day, maybe a 60-day, executive order in cases of emergency. But I believe after that, it needs to go through the debate system in the House and the Senate, then become law if it is passed and signed by a governor before they can continue to exert their authority and their power. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I tell you, sometimes be careful what you wish for, because people like Lenny Curry, and I live in Fernandina Beach, our local mayor here as well, is railing under the fact that they have issued a mask mandate, and the governor's executive order means that there's no way of enforcing it. Thanks to Ron DeSantis, they cannot enforce and punish people for not obeying a mask mandate, and they are looking. those mayors are looking for that authority that will allow them to find you and find me and all the people listening to this radio program to fine us for not wearing a mask in public. And it is only thanks to Ron DeSantis and his executive order that says there is no and will be no mask mandate in the state of Florida.
Well, I'm thankful for that. But yet at the same time, you and I both realize, even though there's no mask mandate, they're enforcing it with the business and the professional offices as though there's a mask mandate. For example, I went into Walmart, one of the largest stores on San Jose Boulevard here, just a couple of weeks ago, and there's a little Gestapo gentleman sitting there and said, "You've got to have a mask." And I said, "I don't wear a mask. My constitution won't allow it." And he said, "There's a mask mandate," and pointed to, he said, "There it is on the wall." I said, "Sir, there's a fiat executive order in Duval County by the mayor, but there's not a statewide mask mandate." I said, "So either you want me to go in this store and shop, or do you want me to leave?" So the bottom line is, Ken, and we're aware of that, this mandate that we're talking about now, the Biden is talking about a double mask, not just one, but two masks, and the mask mandate. Where are we going in the future with that? Will it be forced upon us, not by government, but through the professionals and the business and the restaurants, et cetera, et cetera? Is that how the forced vaccination will take place and the mandate? We've got about a minute and a half to go. Talk with us about that.
That's what I fear. And I think you've seen this with many of the corporations over the past year, including Walmart, giving money to Black Lives Matter, giving money to groups close to Antifa, following Kamala Harris's appeal to them to provide bail money to members of Antifa who are jailed. You're getting the corporate America playing along with this left-wing social control agenda because they believe that that's what government wants, and they believe that they will make more money doing so. I am very worried about that. I'm worried about big tech. I'm worried about the censorship. And, you know, Ronald Reagan had a saying, which I always use when I was running for office. He says, "The bigger government gets, the smaller your freedoms as an individual." That is my true fear of what's happening in this country.
Absolutely. Ken, thank you so much for taking time out to join us on this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.